Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, Downfall, The Downfall of Sabari Muni, text number 49. Sakadachit Upasina Atma Panavam Atmanaha Tadarsha Ba Vricharayo Mina Sangha Samutitam Sa Hi Subari Muni Kadachit. One day Upasina, sitting down. Atma Apavanavam, degrading oneself from the platform of tapasya. Atmanaha, self-caused. Didarsha, observed. Bahu richa Acharya. Sabari Muni, who is expert in chanting mantras. Expert. Mina Sangha. The sexual affairs of fish. Sumuditam. Caused by this incident. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, one day, while Sabari Muni, who was expert in chanting mantras, was sitting in a secluded place, he thought to himself about the cause of his fall down, which was simply that he had associated himself with the sexual affairs of the fish. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Sabari Muni had fallen from his austerity because of a Vaishnava aparad. The history is that when Garuda wanted to eat fish, Sabari Muni unnecessarily gave the fish shelter under his care. Because Garuda's plan for eating were disappointed, Sabari Muni certainly committed a great offense to a Vaishnava. Because of his Vaishnava aparad, an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, Sabari Muni fell from his exalted position of mystic tapasya. One should not therefore impede the activities of a Vaishnava. This is the lesson we must learn from this incident concerning Sabari Muni. Next text. Alas, while practicing austerity, even within the depths of the water, and while observing all the rules and regulations practiced by saintly persons, I lost the result of my long austerity simply by association with the sexual affairs of fish. Everyone should observe this fall down and learn from it. Sabari Muni is instructing us that we should learn from his example. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tapasivyo diko yogi, gyanibyo diko dikaha, karmibhyascha diko yogi, bhava. But the yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the fruited worker, greater than the jnani. Tasmad yogi bhavarjana, therefore become a yogi. A yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruit worker. Therefore, Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi. Sabari Muni was a tapasvi, that is, by his determination and will, and by his chanting mantras. He was able to control his senses to the extent that he was able to live underneath the water for many thousands of years. And we can see that he developed the mystic powers. So, it is not that we become independently powerful even by becoming a tapasvi. Because the soul always remains the soul. He never becomes anything other than a little tiny soul. When he gets to the spiritual world, then his original spiritual body is manifested along with his spiritual energy, and everything is moved by the spiritual energy there, namely prema. The ecstasy of devotion creates all the different varieties in the material world, in the spiritual world. But here, the soul is just an observer, and he manifests his energy in the form of desire, observing through the senses that have been given to him. Therefore, he becomes desirous, or at least desires are offered to him, and when he dovetails his desires with the desires that are offered to him, then Krishna, through his different energies, makes arrangements to manifest activities. But in any case, the soul remains the same. Now, as it says, nigama kalpataru galitam palam, that the Vedas are like a desire tree. They can give us endless varieties of opportunities how to dovetail our desire. And if we go in the right direction, then we go towards the higher realms of Krishna consciousness. Because everything depends upon how conscious we are of Krishna. Even when exhibits mystic power, it's not independent. It's just by identification of one's desires with Krishna's desires. The example is given that if one is on with a bicycle, trying to ride the bicycle, you can only go so fast. But if you grab hold of a train, then the train will pull you and you can go as fast as the train, because you're identifying with the train. Similarly, when the soul identifies itself with Krishna, then Krishna, this body becomes Krishna's instrument, or either the spiritual and material energies, and therefore it becomes as powerful as Krishna wants it to become. Now, because Subhari Muni was a Tapasvi, he thought the cause of his fall down was seeing fish engaged in sex life. Undoubtedly, there is some truth to that, but he didn't see the more subtle reason why he fell down, namely because of his Vaishnava aparad, because he wasn't a devotee. Therefore, he didn't see the connection between my relationship with devotees, because he probably didn't even know that. But, well, he probably wasn't 100% clear what Garuda's position is. Matter of fact, it's a little difficult for us sometimes to figure out how a Vaishnava could not be a vegetarian. Who does he offer the fish to? In any case, Garuda works it out, and he's the carrier of Vishnu. So to be a carrier of Vishnu, you have to be a great personality, a great devotee. In any case, Subhari Muni couldn't see the connection, but he saw the connection with Tapasya. And therefore, Tapasya is also necessary. As Maharaj Shabde said, Nanyam Devo, Nanyam Deho Deho Bhaja Riloke, Kastan Kaman Arate Vidvu Janye, Tipo Divyam Putraka Yena Sadvam, Shudyat Tasmai Prama Sokim Tunantam. Then he instructed his 100 sons that, my dear boys, don't live in the material world simply following your senses, like the hogs and the dogs who eat stool. Instead, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam, try to engage in divine austerity. In other words, try to utilize your senses in the service of Krishna and tolerate the urges of the senses. And that way you can enter into the platform of consciousness where you can experience unlimited happiness forever. So there is a process by which we can experience unlimited happiness forever, that is tolerating, as Krishna says, kama kama krodha vimuktaistu vishen indriyastran amavaisharvadeyatma prasadam adhigachati. Well, first of all, he says before that, he says a lot of things before that. We'll go back a few verses. That nipari shat priyam prapya no dvija prapicha priyam stira buddhira asambuddho brahma vid brahmani stidaha. That a person who's not joyful when he obtains something or laments when he loses something, who's self-intelligent, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is said to be situated in transcendence. So, generally speaking, we think we're gaining something when we get something. But actually, the soul is always the same. He's not gaining anything. We're just sitting there watching. Like if you're in a movie, watching a movie, and the hero gains $1 million in the lottery. But you're sitting in the movie theater, you're just watching it. Nothing was put in your pocket. Or later on, the hero loses $1 million. You may feel depressed. Oh, I was so rich in my imagination. And now I've lost it all. But you haven't lost anything. The same amount of money is still in your pocket, whatever there was. So simply we're watching this body perform its activities, thinking we're gaining something or we're losing something. But we're not gaining anything, nor are we losing anything. It's only our imagination. Now, undoubtedly, the body is supposed, you know, this in relation to this body, something is gained, something is lost. But we're not the body. Therefore, we ourselves, the soul, haven't gained or lost anything. And when one becomes aware of ourselves as a soul, then we don't become disturbed when we so-called gain something or so-called lose something, because we see that as a soul, I'm not gaining or losing anything. The prarishat priyam prapya na dvijat chapriyam stira buddhira. Dira, who's tolerant, buddhir, and self-intelligent. That is, we see ourselves as we really are. Even theoretically, to see ourselves as we actually are is a great advancement. Then we can not become disturbed when we're gaining and losing something. Naprarishat priyam prapya nodvijat cha priyam stira buddhira. Asambuddho means that one is not under the illusion of the material energy. One is not affected by the illusion of the material energy. Brahmavid Brahmani Sita. Who knows Brahmavid? Who knows spirit? Brahmasita. And he's situated in spirit. Now, how do we do that? Right now, we're not. Sometimes we might be situated in spirit and sometimes we're not. So how to increase our situation in spirit? Vayas parsheva saktatma vindyat yatminiyat sukham sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashute. Such a person is situated in transcendence. Vayas parsheva saktatma. He's not attracted to external objects or to sense gratification, but is situated in trance and enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So Savara Muni was concentrating on Brahman, but Brahman was not sufficient because he didn't know superior to Brahman was Bhagavan. And therefore, though he strictly followed all the regulations of Brahman realization, he didn't follow the regulations of devotional service, of relationship with Vaishnavas. And therefore, he got into trouble, because relationship with the Vaishnavas supersedes any kind of regulation for Brahman realization. The relationship, now he was situated in the water, his only association was fish, and most of the fish were quite shy, we could say. He didn't have much trouble with the fish, and the fish didn't have trouble with him. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jnana vijnana chiptatma kutastra vijitendriya yikshite yogi samalostrasma kanchana. Person is said to be situated in transcendence, which describes Sarvara Muni, and is self-control. Jnana vijnana chiptatma. A person is said to have acquired both knowledge theoretically and applied when he's satisfied. Jnana vijnana chiptatma kutastha vijitendriya. And therefore he becomes a controller of his senses when he's satisfied with just being a self, a soul. He's actually happy being eternal. Jnana vijnana chiptatma kutastha vijitendriya yukti chitte yogi. By practicing the appropriate type of self-realization, yukta, become in contact with spirit, generally the impersonal spirit at the beginning, but also it could be the Supreme Spirit. While we practice devotional service, then gradually we'll come to Brahman realization simultaneously as we advance to Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. And therefore we won't be will acquire both theoretical and applied knowledge, realized knowledge. Then, samalostrasvakanshana. Then we won't be so much, we'll see pebbles, gold, and samalostrasvakanshana, and mud as the same. Jnana vijnana chiptatma kutastra vijitendriya yukti che yogi. Lostra means mud. Ashma means, what does ashma mean? Actually, does it mean, I think it means ashes or something. Jnana vijnana chiptatma kutastra vijitendriya yukshite yogi samo lostra makanshinaha. Ashma. Stone. Lostra also means mud, but here it says pebbles. Pebbles, stone, and gold. Samalas kanchana, and gold is the same. In other words, it doesn't make any difference to the soul whether he has gold or pebbles or stones. Because if he's situated in transcendence, then he's happy because he's in the spiritual energy. And even that spiritual energy, compared to the material energy, is millions of times more pleasant, more happy, more peaceful and happy and pleasurable. But that's not the end of it. Savari Muni was situated in that transcendent state, and therefore he was undisturbed by everything, and therefore there would be no reason for him to be disturbed by fish having a love affair. Most of us wouldn't even be disturbed by it ourselves, what to speak of a great Muni like Sabara Muni. If you go to an aquarium, most people are not trying to find out where the lovers in the aquarium are. It's not very interesting for most normal people. But Sabara Muni was in transcendence, which we can't even imagine what it's like, and yet he became disturbed. So how is it possible? Because Sarin Madhya Udasinama Dyasadvesha Bandishu Sadhuchva Pitra Papeshu Sabhabudira Vishishate. Person is said to be further advanced, in other words, he's actually becomes to the platform of devotion, when he sees everyone equally, the Sarin means the well-wisher, Mitya, the friend, Mitra. Sudin Madhya Udasina, one who's equal. In other words, those who are equal, the benefactors, the sinful, the pious, he sees them all as the same. He sees them, they're all spiritual beings. But just because of their desires, they become entangled in different ways in the material world. Because of lack of good association, and because of dovetailing their desires with the wrong desires, they become entangled in the illusory energy. But there's such a thing as a Vaishnava, such as Garuda, who was not entangled in material nature. His activities were on the same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to criticize such a personality, or what to speak of cursing them, means it's the same thing, it's worse than cursing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The reaction is much graver because Krishna wants to teach, he's arranged the material world in such a way as to teach the conditioned soul how to glorify the devotees, especially the pure devotees, like Garuda, to develop love and affection and service to them, not to curse them, which is the opposite. Because the spiritual world is simply love and exchanges between the devotees. There's no other thing going on there except for that. And the exact opposite is the material world, where one is envious of everyone, including the devotees. But the most dangerous thing is becoming envious of a devotee, a Vaishnava, a pure devotee, just like Srila Prabhupada or Garuda or the other great personalities in the Bhagavatam or in our disciples' succession. And therefore the reaction is the greatest for the benefit of the soul, so he'll learn his lesson. So he'll become much more cautious in the future about offending devotees. Now, Krishna's arranged it. You offend anyone in the material world, any living entity, you get a reaction. Even knowingly or unknowingly, if we step on an ant, the ant is not very pleased by it. And therefore there's a reaction, even stepping on an ant, but not the same reaction as if offending a devotee like Garuda. Therefore, because he offended Garuda, therefore his ability to perform austerity in the water diminished greatly. And therefore he became attracted by material desire, wound up on the land, marrying 50 princesses for some time. He didn't lose all his mystic power, he just lost his consciousness. Because he saw things improperly, and therefore he acted improperly. So, therefore in Nectar of Instruction it says, Drishtaya svabhava janatera vaputras doshara na prakritam bhaktya ihas janasya pashet ganga basam nakalubhut buddha pena pankara janasya moha. That drishva svabhavitar janitasva doshara. That a Vaishnava, that he may be situated in a he may be in a body which is like not healthy or has some defect, material defect. But one should not criticize such a devotee. It's just like the Ganges during the rainy season becomes full of bubbles, foam, and mud. Still, the Ganges remains equally pure, whatever is put into it. The Ganges is not affected by it. So similarly, a pure Vaishnava, he externally may appear in some way by Krishna's arrangement in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have Vasudeva, the leper, whose body was being eaten away by worms. Sometimes the worm would fall out, and then he'd pick it up and put it back in the hole that the worm was eating in his body. So we may think, well, this is disgusting. But he was a Vaishnava, and therefore he was merciful, even to the worm. He wasn't in the bodily concept of life. He wasn't thinking, he's eating me, he's eating my body. But this body's useless anyhow. Someone might as well eat it now, they can eat it later. Still, when he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, therefore he was given a much more a beautiful body. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But he was always in Krishna consciousness. He was always situated in transcendence. Therefore, although he's a pure devotee, he had a body which was not very pleasant. And indeed, no one lives in this material world forever. If one has a material body, there is a beginning and an end to it, no matter what state of consciousness one may be in. Therefore, one should not look at the devotee externally. want to try to see devotees, how they've developed internally. And not only the Mahabhagavat, but any devotee, one should try to see how they're engaged in devotional service and not care as much for their defects. We don't, especially bodily defects, but in any case, we don't try to simply look at the defects, even psychologically or intellectually or whatever, for the devotees. That's not the only thing we look at. We try to see their good qualities also. Of course, if they're not very serious about devotional service, therefore we may not intimately associate with them because it may cause a disturbance in our own devotional service. We may pick up on their bad habits rather than their good habits. But for those who are serious, then we try to associate with them as much as possible and try to see their good habits and their good qualities, how they're engaged in devotional service. And for the topmost devotees, then we try to faithfully serve their instructions so we can come to that level also. We can see with the same vision that they have where they're affectionate to all living entities in relation to Krishna. And they only see the good qualities, but we can't imitate that. We also have to, we have intelligence and we see some defects, at least deviations from the path of devotional service. We should also see them, but not in a negative way, but as something that we should avoid. Or perhaps if we're in this situation, as something we can help that devotee with to eliminate from their own devotional service. So we don't deny deviations from the path of devotional service, but we look for the absorption that the devotees have in devotional service and try and appreciate it and follow the good example that the devotee is setting. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Khala. Krantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.